Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here, even though the clocks changed today. Welcome to the third Sunday in Lent. We're about halfway through. This Sunday could also be called Everybody's Thirsty Sunday. You notice that we had a lot of thirst in those readings today. First, we had the Israelites dying of thirst as they wandered in the desert in Exodus. And then we have Jesus. Jesus is thirsty as he walks through Samaria. And finally, we discover that the Samaritan woman and her neighbors are thirsty too, but for living water. The story of Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman is found only in the Gospel of John. It is significant for several reasons. It follows the story of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus, which I think we heard about last week. And it serves as a dramatic contrast to it. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a respected Jewish leader, and an insider. He's a man. He has a name. He comes to Jesus by night. The character we are introduced today in John 4 is a woman who has no name. She's a despised Samaritan, an outsider, even in her own community, who comes to Jesus under the brightness of the noonday sun. Nicodemus cannot move beyond the confines of his religious system, but the Samaritan woman moves beyond her religious expectations to engage Jesus in theological debate. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well is also an enactment of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is the story of Jesus breaking ethnic, gender, and moral barriers. He is now not only bringing his message of love and salvation to Jews, but also to those who are considered outsiders and unacceptable. Jesus has begun the ministry to the Gentiles, starting with this lowly woman in Samaria. The encounter at the well occurs at Sychar, near Jacob's well in Samaria. Chapter 4 begins by telling us that the Pharisees have been giving Jesus a hard time in Jerusalem, and that he is now headed back to Galilee. Verse 4 states that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Well, that's not exactly true. Jews usually avoided Samaria. The Jews and Samaritans had been historical enemies for hundreds of years. However, from various events in history, they shared the same roots, the same ethnic roots. They shared the Torah with slight changes, and they worshiped the same God. However, from various events in history, an enmity grew. Much like it is with Catholics and Protestants, or was with Catholics and Protestants, we both have the same Bible with just a different order. We both believe in the Trinitarian God, and we both think that we are right. The most pressing bone of contention in the first century was that the Samaritans believed that God should be worshipped and was resident on Mount Gerizim, and the Jews believed that God resided in and right worship occurred at the temple in Jerusalem. For Jesus to have to go into Samaria was unusual to the point of shocking. It turns out his purposes were more about doing God's work than in taking a shortcut. The conversation Jesus had with a Samaritan woman, it comprises three interchanges between the two of them. It is the longest conversation that Jesus has with anyone, male or female, in the Bible. That in itself should cause us to stop and ponder its significance. Let's take a moment to get to know this Samaritan woman. She's coming to the well in the heat of the day, a fact that leads us to understand that she is shunned by the women and girls of her community who naturally draw water in the cool of the morning. And this is probably because she's had too many husbands and is now living with a man and she's unmarried to him. I think that this isn't fair, frankly, because she probably had very little control over any of it. She's probably middle-aged and careworn, but she's also spirited, curious, intelligent, gutsy, and analytical. By the end of the story, she has her life turned upside down. Lindsay Hardin Freeman has written a book called Bible Women, All Their Words and Why They Matter. Here's her take on what happened that day by the well. Picture the scene. Jesus, tired and dusty, is journeying north with his disciples from Jerusalem to Galilee, taking the shortcut through Samaria, which requires about 3 days of walking rather than six. A friendly place it is not. For although Jews and Samaritans carry many of the same genes, they are age-old enemies. Under the hot midday sun, the group stops for rest and water. The apostles go into town for food. Jesus waits alone and resting, but his solitude is soon broken as a middle-aged, careworn woman carrying an empty water jug approaches. She ignores him and expects he will do the same, as is the custom. But Jesus says, "Give me a drink of water." The woman is surprised. "What? Why is it that you, a Jew, talk to me, a woman of Samaria?" From the start, they pound each other with words and thoughts. She would be a good prosecuting attorney, for she is bright, does not flinch, and looks for the truth. One senses good humor from Jesus's parrying. "You say you want water? I'll give you living water." The woman snaps back with, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket. Are you a better man than Jacob, who dug this well and deeded it to us?" Note that she moves in with authority. Jacob is her ancestor. Of course, he was Jesus's too, and she knows that. But he's not in Kansas anymore. He's in her stomping grounds, not his. Jesus is enigmatic. Anyone who drinks the living water will never thirst. The woman baits Jesus with a dose of sarcasm. "Hey, give me that water so I'll never have to come back here again." One gets the feeling that Jesus is enjoying himself with this comment, "Go get your husband and bring him back here." Ouch, the ground is shifting, and he has gained the upper hand. The woman tells him, "I have no husband." And it's the truth, at least technically, but one wonders if she would pass a lie detector test. zinger from Jesus. That's right, you do not have a husband. You've had five, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. Boom, game over. Or so it appears. But she comes back, oh, so you're a prophet, are you? Like a ping pong match, the conversation continues. She questions him, parries with him, searches for answers. Her people, the Samaritans, believe the Messiah will come, but the primary place for worship is Mount Gerizim, in view from where they stand, not Jerusalem. The Samaritans believe that the Messiah will come, but not yet. The woman finally concedes, when the Messiah comes, he'll straighten all this out. Then she gets the surprise of her life when Jesus says, you don't have to look for him to come. He's here, right in front of you. Eyes wide open, she gets it. Shaken, overjoyed, and a bit confused, she races back to town, leaving her water jug behind. Knowing that her word might be discredited because she's viewed as immoral, she invites others to see for themselves. I've just met a man by the well who knows everything I've ever done. Do you think this could be the Messiah? Come and see for yourselves. Much like how Jesus had met the woman on her ground, she invites the townspeople to come to know Jesus on their terms. And they do, asking Jesus to stay for 2 days, during which time many people entrust their lives to him. We can't ignore the townspeople's comment to the woman after those 2 days, though. We're believing on our own now because of what we've seen. We've seen the Messiah, not because of what you said. In this conversation, Jesus identifies who he really is for the first time in John's gospel. When she says, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he will proclaim all things, Jesus says, now I'm going to switch translations here. He says, I am the one who is speaking to you. The NRSV added, I am he. But if you stick with just the I am as other translations do, what does that remind you of? The holy name of God in Exodus. Jesus also identifies himself at the end of this passage as Savior of the world. And this is the one and only time in John's gospel that he does use the word Savior. Jesus wants this unnamed woman, the Samaritans, and his disciples to really see what is being offered to them in the present, instead of continuing to view everything through the lens of old realities. The kingdom of heaven is present in the world now. Salvation is now. The harvest is ready now. These Samaritans seem to get what Jesus is saying. Do we? What does the story teach us? First, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is available to all people of the earth, no exceptions. Next, the Samaritan woman, even though she wasn't totally convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, did everything right. She didn't let her doubt stop her witness. She was brave, and she had a conversation with someone who would normally be taboo for her to talk to. She began to believe when Jesus told her all about her past and current situation, but it wasn't his knowing about her that sent her to tell the others. It was the fact that knowing all about her, everything, he still thought her worthy of love. That was what gave her the courage to go talk to people who had shunned her. She used her own eyes and ears and intellect and then went to others, inviting them to do the same. Come and see for yourselves, she said to them. The very words that Jesus used when he was first calling his disciples, "Come and see." The very words we are called to share with our friends and neighbors. Notice that Jesus initiates the interaction at the well, knowing full well the woman's moral status and the social boundaries he was breaching. But what about us? None of us are without sin. And if you think about it in terms of the first century, none of us are Jewish men. What social convention is he disregarding to talk to us? I began today by talking about who is thirsty. Notice that it is Jesus who is thirsty in this story. Notice that Jesus can't get the water by himself. Jesus is thirsty at the well, and we are the ones with the bucket. Remember that when we care for the least of us, we are caring for Jesus. Can a bottle of water offered in love be the beginning of someone's salvation journey? The answer to that is yes. But we will never see and know that until we meet a stranger, engage with them, and take care of their human need first. We can be the reason someone says, "Come and see." The closing words of the Samaritan villagers hold the key to understanding this text. The Samaritans no longer need the secondary witness of the woman because they say, "We have heard for ourselves." Effective witness does not replace the immediate experience of Jesus in the fourth gospel. It leads to that experience. John's passage today is narrated so that we too can sense that we have heard Jesus for ourselves. As a result of reading this text, we may come to recognize ourselves as Samaritans, one to whom the good news has come in unexpected places at unexpected times. From John chapter 4, I can say with assurance, for those of you who are seeking the living water that never runs dry that Christ offers, you who are tired of the wells that leave you thirsty for something more meaningful, Jesus is waiting. For those of you who are believers, who can you invite to come and see? Amen.